Peel Speaks, coming to you from Concordia Theological Seminary in Springfield, Illinois. I am Jack Jackson, a second-year seminarian. The next time you hear from us, we will be the Fort Wayne Theological Seminary, and we will be at our new home in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today, we will be discussing the mechanics of moving our campus with Dr. Robert Preuss, president of the seminary, Professor William Hauser, administrative liaison for the move, and also with us is Dave Mulder, a fellow seminarian who will talk about the problems in the whatever it is that students are having issues. Dr. Preuss, how is it that the move is being handled? What's the sort of the big picture of the move?
Well, the move is being handled almost exclusively of the students or faculty or even board of control of the seminary. The synod decided to move our seminary immediately after they decided to phase out the present senior college at Fort Wayne, and gave the entire responsibility for the move to the Board for Higher Education. So what we're trying to do is to take orders and do everything as well for them as we possibly can.
Okay, fine. Professor Hauser, what is your particular responsibility? What kind of duties do you have here for the move?
Well, basically just one. I was asked to make certain there were sufficient number of students to help in the moving process. That's basically all I'm doing, is just making sure that there will be enough, some ones or twos or fours, to help load and pack and whatever is necessary in moving the library or moving of the professors or whoever is involved.
I might just add to this that probably the business manager here, Mr. Campbell, is doing more than any other single person so far as the logistics of the move are concerned. He's constantly being called upon by the Board for Education because he's here and there are other places. So what we're doing, particularly Mr. Campbell, is simply trying to carry out their instructions as they move it in the most feasible and economic way.
Okay, very good. Dave, you're a married student with a family. What sort of helps have been provided for the students in terms of the move?
So far, I think we're in pretty good condition now. Those of us who have just finished our first year will move 5 times in 4 years with a combination of Vicarage and moving to Fort Wayne. But I think this will be our best move because there is storage facilities available there for interim while we're looking for apartments. They're also providing 75% of the total moving cost, as all we have to do is pack, and we're packing in boxes and cartons that have been provided. So I think we're in very good shape.
How much do you expect it to cost you to make the move then?
Well, I have a medium-sized apartment full of things, and it'll cost probably $100, between $75 and $100 for actual moving cost. There'll be maybe some other miscellaneous, but it should be under $100 for total cost to move.
How many children do you have?
I have 2 children. So I have about 4,000 pounds of furniture. There'll be other fellows that have more, runs a little bit more, but maybe up to between $100 and $200. And then, of course, we have gas for travel and that sort of thing. But we're in, like I say, of all the moves, I think this will be the best because they're moving us rather than we fellows have to order a U-Haul and drive it ourselves.
Right. Sounds like we're getting a real good deal. All right. Dr. Preuss, has a buyer been found for this campus yet?
Maybe. That's the best I can do. Mr. Campbell has been designated by the treasurer of the Synod, Mr. Carpenter, who in turn has been designated by the board of control directors of the Synod to sell the campus. In other words, Mr. Carpenter is responsible for the sale of the campus for the Synod itself. However, he can't be here, and Mr. Campbell is here. Mr. Campbell has been showing the campus to a rather large number of possible buyers. And there is one particular party where it looks like it's getting pretty close. I better not say who it is because I don't really want to steal anybody else's thunder.
Well, that's fine. Just happy to know there's a potential. Professor Hauser, since the Fort Wayne campus is somewhat isolated from the community, is there a danger that this could lead to an ivory tower experience for the students, leading away from the more practical attitudes expressed here on this campus?
Well, I might answer in relationship to the professors, and perhaps you would want to answer in relationship to the students, if you would care to answer first for the students.
Yes, I've made 2 trips to Fort Wayne, and besides being impressed with the facilities and the potential of the facilities we have to use there, seminarians, most of us, I think, so far, the few men will buy homes and have already bought homes. There are four apartment houses within a 2-mile radius of the campus itself. All are government subsidized, and that if you have low enough income, which most of us qualify very easily, we will be able to live there. And it's definitely a move up for us from here, for most of us. We will live in relatively new apartment houses. But with a combination of rent and utilities, we will live for about the same cost that we are here, maybe just a few dollars more. But we will be living out with the people, and I think it's a very good move up for us.
If the professors want an ivory tower experience, they can have it. Certainly is a temptation for this with the large campus and the trees, and you're, in a way, you're cut out. It's like walls, invisible walls of a monastery. But there is no reason for that, and I don't believe that the men in the faculty will. I don't think they will succumb to that temptation at all. Dr. Price wants his professors to go out and preach. He wants them to join the church. He wants them to become a part of a voters' meeting. I preach every Sunday as a professor. I made a sick call Sunday. I'm preaching a funeral sermon tomorrow. This is the type of community involvement with the community and with our people, with our Lutherans, that we keep in touch with the parish. And so you drive out of your nice surroundings and you become with humanity again. And that way you're effective in teaching. And so there's no danger of any ivory tower experience.
Okay. I just might add on this, as you mentioned, getting out into the parishes, the field education program there is going to be so ideal. Here, men have to drive 50 to 75 miles at times to get to their field church, which is not all that bad. But there we will have many churches to work with and will be very active, I think, in the churches. And, of course, field education, learning the practical aspects of being pastors is going to be very, very good for us.
Okay, fine. And Dr. Price, a couple of questions about the move here. If the reason for the move is purely economic, why are we moving at all? It seems that if we were really interested in saving money, why didn't we just close the Fort Wayne campus and stay in Springfield? And also, why was it moved so close and not possibly to the West Coast or something?
Yeah. Well, you're asking a lot of questions of me that have been asked before, and I can't answer them except by a certain amount of speculation, because things that are done by synods after the floor committees of these synod meetings have given reports, it's very difficult to know the reasons and motives for the actions that are taking place. Maybe I could take just a minute on this, because I know that there are those in our church body who have said that politics dominates every single thing that is ever done at a synod meeting. I don't think that's quite true. What has happened in the last 10 to 12 to 15 years within our synod is that less and less people have come up through our entire system into to the two seminaries. I think both of you fellows are examples of men who did not go through the system. And over half of our men here at this seminary have not come through the system, and more and more at the other seminary. And it was simply costing the Synod too much to keep so many schools going, and they felt that they could have a first-rate senior college operation at an existing school, thus saving the cost of maintaining a campus. So the first decision that the Synod made was to phase out the senior college at its present location, but to create the same program at a different location, which was already working out very well up in Michigan, not too far from Fort Wayne, actually. Then they looked at this campus, which they had spent, $10 million or something to build not too long ago, and they, I guess, felt it would be a crime to try to put this up for sale and take a terrific financial beating at it, but would take a school like ours, move us further away from St. Louis, where we would be less and less in competition with them, into a much more Lutheran area in terms of the immediate surroundings, up to maybe 150 miles or 100 or even 50 miles, and simply save the Synod the amount that it would cost to operate one institution, and at the same time sell another institution. Now, whether this is going to work out perfectly, nobody quite knows. But if we get a good buyer for this institution, and that's a big if, of course, things will work out remarkably well in terms of the Synod saving, I would say, at least $700,000 a year in its overall budget for higher education. This, I think, was in the thinking of the people, and that's why I think it's primarily an economic factor.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much.
The West Coast you asked about,
oh, yeah.
I really think that anybody who would study seminary education would have to conclude that to begin a new seminary would cost so much that our synod couldn't possibly even begin to do it. To begin a first-rate seminary on the West Coast, I think, would cost you up to $10 million. You'd have to build new buildings, not just inherit them or move into them, you see. And it would be a tremendous undertaking.
Okay, fine. Professor Hauser, what effect, if any, will this move have on the power of the seminary and synod as opposed to the power of our sister seminary in St. Louis?
Well, I think we should drop that word power. Maybe we should say the effect of our moving, and I suppose number one is that we're going to start working more in the states that are closer. We're quite close now to St. Louis, but we'll be able to reach to Michigan and reach to Ohio, and then they can reach to Illinois and to Missouri. I suppose that's the better word, the effect of our moving. But two, perhaps one was thinking of power, competition. And again, I don't think we should think of that. Maybe we should use this word, maybe quality, in this sense that when I came here in 1946 as a student, I think I developed a little bit of an inferiority complex. This is practical, and we really don't need you. We have St. Louis, and they have a better staff, and better this, and better that. And this was a certain mindset, maybe by a few, that was wrong. Maybe we have to move a whole campus to show our synod that with our presidents, and with our professors, and with our academics, and still being very strong and very practical, because we are turning out practical pastors, maybe this is all going to take away that mindset, and we have what St. Louis wants us to have, an equality in buildings, and see what we have for a president and pastors.
Well, I think that when I looked at that, I thought in terms of public relations. You know, we've always been the unheard of seminary in the past, too. When people thought of a seminary, they thought of St. Louis. Certainly everybody knows we're around now after this move and having a nice new facility and expanding our doctoral programs and things like that up there. I think that's one of the things we haven't mentioned so far, is that campus up there is going to provide us with a marvelous facility to expand these new programs that we've got going here. David?
I think for recruitment, too, in one. Young men try to consider which seminary to go to. When you, after you're here a year, you find out that the real essential part of the seminary is the faculty. But a campus up there will also is what you see at first, and that will, for recruiting and getting men, which we surely need in our synod, more pastors, I think the recruitment potential is going to be much, much greater than here.
I'd like just to add a word. I was asked a question by the task force, which was a group appointed by the Synod to deal with the whole question of what to do with higher education, whether to close or move schools and so forth, and then they came with a report to the convention finally. The first question they asked me, how many seminaries do you think the Missouri Synod needs or ought to have? And without having a chance to think, I still believe I gave the right answer. I said two, not one, not three or four or five, but two. We have almost 3 million people. Recruitment is the important thing now. We have something like 500 vacancies. There's no competition between St. Louis and us. What we should both be doing is tumbling over each other, trying to get men into the ministry today. And if they want to recruit, we're going to recruit, and I'm glad for every student they get, and they're glad for every student we get. And I just think that being a little further away will, in a sense, it won't be good to see. I won't see a lot of my good friends anymore very often. But on the other hand, I think it will enhance both programs quite a bit. And really, our church is big enough. Our mission enterprise is going forward at such a rate that we need two schools.
Very good. Okay, one of the only real negative I've heard in terms of facilities about going to Fort Wayne is, what are we going to do about the library? our library staff here is concerned that we've got more books than will go into the present facility. How are we going to grow in that facility? Were there any plans for expanding the library? Or?
Well, I have, I think you're right. In terms of space utilization and utilities and buildings there, this is the only one problem. Now, we would have run into this problem here in about 10 years, and unfortunately, we built a library here that cannot be expanded very easily. I believe that if there's going to be any expansion there, it will not be given us by the Senate and probably ought not be. We'll simply have to go out and raise the money from friends who believe that we ought to have more facilities there. And I believe we're going to find friends like this. In fact, I've got a couple already in mind. I don't think it'll happen in the next year or two, but I've already asked Professor Barbara Stege to work out at least some tentative plans, possibly for another building, rather than enlarging a building and fooling around trying to enlarge every 5 years. We would have another building for graduate school books, for the more foreign books, the books that aren't used so much, and in some way feasibly divide our library facilities into two relatively closely related buildings. So we're thinking about it definitely. It's not the first thing we're going to do when we arrive on campus, though.
Okay, fine. Well, that's a concern of a lot of people about the library. They feel that they have a beautiful setup here and they like the way it runs,
right.
And they were very concerned about that. Professor Hauser, what kinds of problems do you anticipate will result from the fact that the senior college and not the seminary will be in charge of the campus for the next year?
Oh, I can't anticipate any problems, basically, or foresee any. You have two different units. You have students attending senior college, and you have students attending the seminary. You have professors teaching in one, professors on the other. You have a president for one, a president for the other. We just basically aren't going to, you know, have two professors teaching two different student groups in one room. You know, all kinds of problems then. But goodness, this is just a dress shop and a men's store next door. You know, two different, completely different staffs. And
I'd like to add to that, in a sense, they're doing us a favor because we're coming in there cold and new and not knowing the facilities, the city, and for a year we can observe the way they will be carrying out the whole matter, and so we can get into the change gradually. Now, there may be a few cases where they won't let us use the gymnasium if we want to or something like that because they've got it booked, but that's no big problem, and we're just thankful that they're taking this responsibility for this last year there. They're doing us a favor.
Well, good. Dave, are there any, you said you've made several trips up to Fort Wayne so far. What are the kinds of things that you had to do to get settled in Fort Wayne, besides finding housing?
Well, that's basically it. And then, of course, my first concern was to find a Christian day school for my oldest daughter. And many of us have done that. We've written ahead and checked and had very, very excellent response. We're going to be at a church out on the east side. That was the main thing. Once we got that established, then we looked for housing, and of course housing is the immediate thing, but just overall impression is just very, very good. Reverend Lochner had, of course, preceded us and had everybody well prepared. When we walked in, said we were with Concordia Seminary, they were ready for us, so he had us well prepared.
Very good.
What about jobs?
Well, I'm going to be working at the library, so I didn't look that much, but I know a number of our men here work, for an example, for JCPenney, and the manager here called over there and lined up jobs ahead. And with a town of 200,000 and a group of college graduates, if they're willing to work a little bit, I don't think jobs will be any problem. I don't think we ever have a problem getting jobs.
Banks and the hospitals have been very, very helpful, too. Just all kinds of jobs available.
Well, seminarians out here have worked for how many years, 18 years out here running the Hertz Rent-A-Car on the weekends and shifts, and several of our guys were up there talking to Hertz Rent-A-Car at the airport up there, and I think they're trying to open something like that.
Good.
I just want to add one point. I think we'll really appreciate Springfield after we're gone, because when we come in here, we get discounts many places. We get priority on jobs, priority on apartments, and although we're getting much the same treatment starting there now, this community has really treated us very well, and it'll take a little time for Fort Wayne to get used to 300 or 400 men coming in, you know, to the community.
There are so many more Lutherans up there, and a Lutheran hospital, and a Lutheran this, and a Lutheran retirement home, that all of these opportunities should just open up, blossom.
Wasn't that the home base that we started?
Yeah, Concordia Theological Seminary had its beginning at Fort Wayne.
The trip home.
After a long time.
Certainly, yes. Okay, here's an interesting question. There's been much printed in the various papers that exist in our Senate about how much this move is going to cost. And the question here says, how much will a move really cost? We've heard figures from $200,000 to $5 million.
Well, I suppose the president of the institution ought to know something about these things. It's a little difficult to say. Our mover, Mr. Pearson, who was chosen by the Board for Higher Education, and is really responsible for it, predicts something around $150,000 as of right now. Now, if you count the drapes that people are going to have to buy for a new house or something, who knows what it'll be. But in terms of what it'll cost the Senate, it will be, I think, well below $200,000, and I have never heard any responsible person in the Board of Directors or Board for Higher Education quote a figure very close even to $200,000.
Then we should come in under that.
Would
that
like to know how anybody got that $5 million figure.
Well, there's one paper that came up with that. The last question down here at the bottom of the page is one that every time I've talked to anybody who isn't directly involved with the campus, something like that, but knows of the campus, isn't familiar with it, they want to know what's going to happen to Martin Luther. First question is he going to go? And if you say yes, then they say, how in the world are they going to do that? And how much is that going to cost?
He's going to go. There's just no doubt about that. That's the one thing we're going to bring with us. I don't know how, but I really don't think that that is really so terribly difficult. As I said before our meeting, if people can build the Brooklyn Bridge, I think they could move Martin Luther from one city to another.
Have they picked a spot for it?
I think they have, but I can't tell you where it is. I haven't been up there as much as some of the other men from our school here.
Okay. Professor Hauser. Possibly our listeners will be interested in, with especially this $5 million figure, and what is the enormity of the move, and do you have any statistics on the number of
No, I'm sorry, I just can't tell you, but I do know that they have, in August, just all kinds of vans lined up, and we're getting help. I just have no idea, but it isn't going to be as big as we think.
Okay.
Routine.
Well, we're coming up on the end of the show here. Dr. Preuss, would you like to take a couple minutes and kind of wrap it up?
Well, I think, I don't know exactly who this radio audience is. I know there are some of my good friends in St. Louis and some of my good friends here in Springfield. And I'm just happy for the opportunity to say at this point, thanks to everybody. The city of Springfield, I think, in a great many ways, particularly on individual basis, has been a wonderful host to this school for over 100 years. At the same time, I think that our students have really won the hearts of many of the people in this town. I am very grateful to the tremendous welcome that the people in Fort Wayne are giving us. The Chamber of Commerce, the mayor, the Lutheran community, the hospitals, particularly President Bredemeyer and Dr. Waltz, the business manager, these men have really gone out of their way to help us. And it's very hard on those people there, I know, particularly the faculty, to be phased out. And I know that some of the people feel rather strongly about it. We only hope that we can come in a nice, quiet, unobtrusive, but helpful manner and show that city what I think we've tried to show Springfield over the last 100 years, that our men can be not only good Christians and good servants at congregations, but good citizens and good neighbors. So I just would like to say thanks for everybody that's made the move really a lot easier so far than I ever thought it would be.
Thank you very much. Dr. Preuss, Professor Hauser, Dave, ladies and gentlemen, this is the last time we'll be coming to you from Springfield, Illinois. The next time you hear us will be Fort Wayne Speaks from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Thank you very much.